full of bats. I went disguised, but the Sibyl knew me. It must have been my stammer that betrayed me. I stammered badly as a child, and though I gradually learned to control my speech, I am liable, on occasions, to trip nervously over my own tongue, which is what happened to me at Cumae. Oh, Sib, I began. She opened her eyes, frowned, and mimicked me. Oh, claw, claw, claw. That shamed me, and I managed to remember what I had come to ask. Oh, Sibyl, I have come to question you about Rome's fate and mine. Gradually the prophetic power overcame her, and she uttered a Greek verse in the voice of the god. 10 years, 50 days, and 3, claw, 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 shall given be a gift that all desire but he. To a fawning fellowship he shall stammer, cluck, and trip, dribbling always with his lip. But when he's dumb and no more here, 1900 years or near, claw, claw, Claudius shall speak clear. What the gift was that all desire but myself, and it came exactly 10 years and 53 days later, you shall hear in due course. The lines about Claudius speaking clear puzzled me for years, but at last I think that I understand them. They are, I believe, an injunction to write the present work. When it is written, I shall seal it in a lead casket and bury it deep somewhere for posterity to dig up and read. If my interpretation be correct, it will be found some 1900 years hence, and then my story will speak out clearly and boldly. If I could start this story fairly with an account of my infancy, going no farther back than my parents, I would certainly do so, for genealogies and family histories are tedious. But I shall not be able to avoid writing at some length about my grandmother Livia, because, unfortunately, she is the chief character in the first part of my story, and unless I give a clear account of her early life, her later actions will not be intelligible. I have mentioned she was married to the Emperor Augustus. This was her second marriage, following her divorce from my grandfather. Livia was of the Claudian family, one of the most ancient of Rome, and so was my grandfather. There is a popular ballad, still sometimes sung by old people, of which the refrain is that the Claudian tree bears 2 sort of fruit, the sweet apple and the crab, but that the crabs outnumber the apples. My grandfather was one of the best of the Claudians. Believing that Julius Caesar was the one man powerful enough to give Rome peace and security, he joined the Caesarian party and fought bravely in the Egyptian War. When he suspected that Julius was aiming at personal tyranny, my grandfather would not willingly further his ambitions in Rome, though he could not risk an open breach. He therefore asked for the office of pontiff, and was sent in that capacity to France, to found colonies of veteran soldiers there. On his return, after Julius's assassination, he incurred the enmity of young Augustus, Julius's adopted son, who was then known as Octavian, and his ally, the great Mark Antony, by boldly proposing honours for the tyrannicides. In the disturbances that followed, he sided now with this party, now with that. At one time he fought with Mark Antony's brother against Augustus at Perugia in Etruria. But convinced at last that Augustus aimed at the restoration of the ancient liberties of the people, he came over to his side and settled at Rome with my grandmother Livia and my uncle Tiberius, then only 2 years old. My grandmother Livia was one of the worst of the Claudians. She may well have been a reincarnation of that Claudia, sister of Claudius the Fair, who was arraigned for high treason, because once, when her coach was held up by a street crowd, she called out, "If my brother was alive, he knew how to clear crowds away. He used his whip." When one of the protectors of the people, tribunes in Latin,